Hagar?
I want to make several comments about this patient. The first one is the three-arm randomized trial. I'm not that discouraged about it because vorinostat is a weak HDAC inhibitor. And the same way as we don't see all FLT3 inhibitors as equivalent, I think there could be a potentially better HDAC inhibitor. Now, we've tried several and they all failed, but there is still the possibility of prasinostat. On the azalenalidomide arm, the dose that was used was, I think, higher than what is needed, and maybe some of the negative side effects or taking the patients off study were related to that. So we have a study in a single-arm trial of azalenalidomide at our institution where we show a better outcome in patients who receive the lenalidomide dose less than 150 per course. So I think a lower dose of lenalidomide with azacitidine might help. Now, the second question is what to do with this patient. I think there are several things that can be done. The first one is, yes, the blasts are 8%, but this patient has trisomy 8 and the main problem are cytopenias. And so we could use some form of immunotherapy on a trial, such as cyclosporine steroids. In fact, patients with trisomy 8 had the highest response rate on those trials. So that could be tried. The second thing is the potential use of checkpoint inhibitors on an investigational approach. And we have a study that we alluded to earlier with the PD-1 inhibitor where we don't see fast responses, but once the patients stabilize, they seem to be living for a long time.
This is pembrolizumab that they're getting.
Yes.
Charlie?
You know, Hagar lives in a different universe than the rest of us, a very, very privileged universe. In fact, at most, even leukemia centers, it's been difficult to identify trials for people who have failed to respond to or relapsed after hypomethylating agents. I mean, every meeting I go to, in fact, that's what I'm nosing around for, because there really is nothing to do for those patients unless you have a trial, as Hagar suggests. The practical issue, because so many of these patients are either in the community, can't make it to centers or whatnot, is when do you throw up your arms and say that the drug isn't working? When we did the original azacitidine trial, it took a long time to get that manuscript vetted by all of the authors. And one of the big arguments we had was whether to include the now perhaps, I don't know whether it's an appropriate sentence, and by the way, there were some people who didn't respond till their eighth course of azacitidine, which is the usual justification that's given for persisting. I think David wrote a paper with decitabine that said actually the die is cast after about two courses. I usually think about four courses and repeat the marrow, and if I find out that I'm losing, like in Wendy's patients, I consider stopping and doing other things. Sometimes when you stop, the counts which bother you can go up a little bit. So at least your patient is in a safer haven than they were when you were treating them. But the reality, there are no data about how many to give before calling it quits, but I think that the perception that you gotta give a lot before you call it quits is not correct.
So Wendy, what are you thinking about with this patient?
Well, we've had a lot of discussions, and actually there's a couple things that sort of tie many of the things that have been said together. We did actually initially have a transplant discussion with her. I find this age range very, very difficult. Our oldest patient that we've transplanted at our institution was 74 years old. So, I mean, it's right in the age range and was a successful transplant, actually. But she did go for a transplant evaluation. She heard the numbers and the statistics given. I participate in the transplant program, but we have a specific person who does the older adults and has a whole geriatric transplant assessment.
What kind of numbers do you give in terms of mortality and morbidity from
well,
the procedure?
Well, they factor
age?
In many factors.
What would you say for her?
For her, they gave her a 15% prolonged disease-free survival.
What about early mortality from the treatment?
The early mortality, the day 100 mortality is not high. It's probably less than 20%. Day 180, it's probably around 20%. But in these older adult patients, we don't have a lot of data. We haven't transplanted that many in this age range, but I think our transplant geriatric clinic was quoting her a 30% transplant-related mortality within the first 100 to 180 days.
What other things are you thinking about for her?
So for her, we were thinking about The immune-based therapy, the one trial that we have open right now is a PD-L1 antibody trial, but that's for low-risk MDS, so she's not eligible. We are opening a trial with, you know, we talked a little bit about oral azacitidine and maybe prolonged exposure. There's another trial that's coming forward with decitabine, but with an additional drug that prolongs the half-life of decitabine. And that trial is going to be open at our institution. It is actually just opening, and she may be eligible for that particular trial.